You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
I'm here today, this morning, to give a message to you, which I really believe comes from the heart of God. And my message title is Lift Up Your Eyes and See. And to go on this journey, I have to start at the beginning and ask you, did you know that there are so many questions in the Bible? So many questions. There are 1,679 questions in the Old Testament. Have you ever read your Bible looking for questions? And there are over 827 in the New Testament. Amen? So the first question in the Bible was in Genesis 3 verse 1, where the serpent comes and says, did God say you shall not eat from the tree in the garden? And the final question in the Bible is in Revelations 18, where it says, what city is like the great city? And in between these questions are many truths hidden, jewels, treasures in God's Word. A few examples of questions in the Bible. Jesus said, if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? In Matthew, Jesus says, is life not more valuable than the birds of the air? Are you with me this morning, church? I'm just laying a foundation. Jesus also asked, can any of you add a single moment to your life by worrying? Jesus asks another question in Matthew 8. He says, why are you so afraid? And in Matthew 9, he says, do you believe I can do this? Right? This morning, I want to ask you, if Jesus had to ask you this morning, do you believe I can do this? I can change your situation. I can change your circumstances. I can change your world. Would your answer be yes? So the Bible is a book of questions as much as it is a book of answers. Questions are essential, and asking them is also important, right? So a well-lived life isn't found in having all the answers, but it is in asking the right questions. We need to ask the right questions in different seasons to be able to lift up our eyes and see what God is seeing. A question once God asked in Isaiah is my focal point for today. It's the highlighted text for today. And it says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Do you perceive it? I'm doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? It springs up. I'm making a way in the wilderness, and I'm making streams in wastelands. A way in the wilderness. Who feels like they're in the wilderness this morning? God says He's making a way. He's making streams. He's making life. He's breaking new paths open in your desert this morning. But do you perceive it? God wants to do a new thing. The question is, do you see it? Do you see what God wants to see? Do you see yourselves as God sees you? Do you see your family as God sees you? Do you see your business, your ministry, your worth as what God sees it? You see, the enemy wants to do anything he can. Anything he can to take you away from seeing yourself as God sees you. Because if you can't see yourself as God sees you, you are trapped. You are trapped because God sees you as extraordinary. He sees you as one of a kind. But he says, do you see it? Turn to your neighbor and say, do you see it? So I'm going to read my proof text for today, and I've asked my handsome husband to read my proof text for me, but I'm going to speak to you from it afterwards. Is that okay? That comes from 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 17. Will you read it for us, please?
Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and seek where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Amen. What a beautiful story of seeing, of opening our eyes and seeing what God sees. I'm just going to break it down for you. The Syrians were in constant conflict with Israel, and they were enemies. They were enemies, right? So despite the fighting power of the Syrians, somehow Israel kept having the upper hand. This is the Belinda version of what we've just read, okay? Just to put it together for you in a bunch of flowers and tie it with a bow, and then we sprinkle some glitter over it, okay? And Israel kept winning. And it's as if Israel knew what the Syrians would do next. Are you with me? So because of this, this king is actually so upset and irritated that he asks his people, is there someone amongst us? Is there someone telling them what's going on? Because this doesn't make sense. Every time we do have an attack, they are ready for us. And the servants say, no, there's nobody spying here. There's this man, Elisha. He's a prophet. And you know what? He tells the king of Israel, the words that you speak in your bedroom. Can you imagine? Right? And this king is so shocked. And he asks, where is Elisha? And because he wants to send chariots and horsemen to go and capture him, because he doesn't want Elisha to be in the place to tell all his secrets to Israel. Amen. So Elisha finds himself in Dothan. Did you hear that in the text where they sent out the chariots to go get him in Dothan? So he's surrounded by this massive army. And there in the midst of all of this, God is actually saying something. Because you know what? When God puts something in his word, it's not there for nothing. We often read past the word Dothan and we think, why would God put in that Elisha is sitting in Dothan? But you know what? Dothan has something really special in being Dothan. Because Dothan had been mentioned in the Bible before this time already. Do you know that Joseph was in Dothan? When he was going to go see his brothers, he asked the man on the road, where are my brothers? And the scripture actually says that he was in Dothan. He says, I'm seeking my brother. Where is he? And he says, they're in Dothan. And he says, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph goes to Dothan and he finds himself in a pit. Years later, Elisha is in Dothan and he finds himself surrounded by chariots and horsemen. Dothan was a place for Joseph where he was abandoned by his family. He was rejected. He thought this was the end of his life. It was the end of his walk. How could God allow him to get to a pit? But you know what? God was in control in Joseph's life like he was in control in Elisha's life. Because Joseph had to go to the pit, to go to the prison, to go to the palace, to save the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen? Amen? Remember, Elisha actually had Gehazi as his servant. Do you remember that? In 2 Kings chapter 5. And Gehazi had actually done something terrible when the king had sent Naaman, because in those days, I'm going to backtrack just one step. In those days, when a king, when somebody had to approach Elisha, the commander had to get permission from the king to go to Elisha. So he went to the king, he got permission, he actually got a letter. And the letter was so arrogant, he said, I'm sending Naaman to you to heal him, the king of Syria. So he sends Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 to Elisha. And you know the story of Elisha. Naaman gets healed, not the way he always thinks he should be healed, but he got healed and he returns to Syria. Here's one chapter later. This king has forgotten what God has done. This king has forgotten what God has done to his commander. He has forgotten the miracle that he has performed. And he's launching an attack against Elisha. Are you with me this morning, church? So now we're back in chapter 6. And yeah, he's surrounded. And the protection that kept Joseph in Dothan from being killed, hundreds of years before was the same divine protection that was protecting Elisha. This tells us, church, that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That doesn't matter what your Dotham looks like this morning. You might be in the Dotham of Joseph that looks like a pit, that you don't know which way out. You don't know where you're going. You don't know why you're going through this. But you know what? The divine protection of God is there for you. You might be Elisha, surrounded by chariots, horses, men to come and capture you. And you know what that is in your life, amen? I want to tell you, Dotham is not a place of defeat. Dotham is a place of victory. Your Dotham is not a place of defeat. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? You know, Mother Teresa says, I know God would not test me beyond what I can handle. I just wish He wouldn't trust me this much. Amen. I know God wouldn't test me beyond what I can handle. I just wish He wouldn't trust me this much. Who's ever felt like that? Amen. But God is with us all the time. Every time, and nothing changes. Whatever your Dotham is this morning, I want to tell you God is there. Because the God that was there with Joseph was the God that was there with Elisha. Nothing had changed. Their stories were different. Their paths were different. Their pain was different. Their challenges were different. But the same God was there. And He took Elisha to where he had to be. And He took Joseph to where he had to be. Amen? 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 You see, the servant sees this army and he asks Elisha. He says, oh no, my Lord, what shall I do? And you know what? Luckily for us, Elisha doesn't turn around and say, oh no, what do we do? When he's confronted with what must we do, Elisha actually turns around and handles the servant of him with so much compassion. So much compassion. He's patient and he's kind and he's compassionate towards the servant that's learning. Remember, he had just come in after Gehazi. He had started to learn the ways of the Lord, amen. This compassion isn't just shown in how he speaks to him. It's shown in how he speaks to God about him. Your compassion for your friend, for your family, for your children is greatly shown in how you speak to God about them. Amen. Love is shown in how we speak to God on behalf of others. I want to ask you this morning, how do you speak to God on behalf of others? Love people through your prayers. 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 Show the compassion of Jesus in your prayers. When you are angry, let's not pray prayers that bring down fire, amen. When we are angry, let's bring down prayers of blessing. Bless them, Father, bless them. If they speak ill of us, bless them, Father. If they speak good of us, bless them, Father. Because whether they speak good or whether they speak bad, it doesn't change God's mind. He still thinks you extraordinary. Amen? A person's opinion does not change God's mind. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning, church? So if people are speaking about them, let them speak. They may have their opinion. It doesn't matter. God is the one that sets the truth. Amen. And the truth is that you are one of a kind. You were born with a purpose, with a destiny to fulfill on this earth. And the enemy hates that about you. Amen. So Elisha turns and he says to his servant, he says, don't be afraid. Those who are for us are more than those who are against us. I want to say to you this morning, church, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those that are for you are more than those that are against you. Those that are for you are more than those that are against you. Amen? When the enemy raises up a standard, God just raises up one way better and way bigger and way wider and way deeper and way bigger and everything better than the devil can ever raise up against you. Amen? One thing we know, church, the enemy will try, but he always makes a mistake. He always makes a mistake. So Elijah prays and he says, open his eyes, Lord, so they may see. You know, the Lord then opens the eyes of the servant and he looks and he sees hills full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. God has positioned protection around every single one of you. He's got a wall of fire around every single one of you. You belong to Him. You are not alone. You are not walking like those without hope. You are not walking like those who do not know what is coming tomorrow. We have chariots of fire, angels working for us. May our eyes one day open to see what God has. Amen. And what God has positioned around us. Charles Spurgeon says there's a proverb, seeing is believing. But that's not true. For there are many things that we see which is not to the sensible person's eyes that we do not believe. He says, if you turn the proverb around, it says, believing is seeing. What are you seeing in your business? What are you seeing in your life? What are you seeing in your children's lives? What do you see when you look at yourself? What do you see when you see this church? What do you see when you look at your family? What do you see when you look at your children? If your child is going off the track, take that photo and go into your prayer room and start saying what the truth is. Amen? You take that photo and you start speaking over that child the words that come from heaven. You take those scriptures and you start prophesying over that child. You say, you will live and not die to declare the goodness of the Lord. You will live and not die to declare the goodness of the Lord. I keep you bound to the will of God. I keep you bound to His ways. I keep you bound to His word. And if the enemy comes in against our children, we stand up and we say, this is it. We are not those weak, timid mothers and fathers that stand back. My children belong to Jesus Christ. When our children are having a hard time at school, we don't speak that. We speak, our children are blessed of God. They have wisdom and understanding. The greater one lives inside of them. This is not going to get them down. This maths giant will fall. But you know what? With God on the inside of our kids, they're going to make it. They're not just going to make it. They're going to make it big time. Amen? You see, the eyesight of faith produces in a man who possesses it a calm and a quiet frame of mind. Elisha was calm and quiet in that moment. He did not panic. He did not panic. Like David, he could say, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Also, God is your refuge and your strength, a present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear. Amen? Our children have a future. Our families have a future. God has a future for our country and for this planet. Amen? If only we had the eyes of faith, we would enjoy so much calm. Imagine seeing what you're believing, not what you're seeing in the physical. Imagine how much calm and quiet and patience Elisha would have needed in his heart to see that in the midst of all of that. Most men don't have calmness. Who's played in that movie? Because they do not have spiritual eyesight. You are not looking through the right eyes. You see, the servant physically had the same eyes as Elisha, the same physique, the same everything. But it wasn't his physical eyes that Elisha was talking about. Only God can open our eyes to start believing what we should be believing, not seeing in the natural. Amen? Only God can open our eyes. You know, once again, Spurgeon, you know, he's one of my favorites. He says, we can lead blind men to Jesus, but we cannot open their eyes. We can lead blind men to Jesus, but we cannot open their eyes. We need the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in Proverbs 20, verse 12, it says that the Lord has made hearing ears and seeing eyes. God gives new sight to those who have lost their sight. You might be sitting here this morning and saying, I hear what you're saying. It's easy to say, you've got it all together. It's not so easy being on this side of the pulpit. I want to tell you, we need God as much as you need God to see what we believe and not see what we're seeing in the natural. Amen? We need to hold on to Jesus. We see in the story of Elijah that his servant, that God actually can and had done things so quickly and so timelessly. But a moment before that, the young man could not see anything. A moment before seeing, he saw nothing. But in one moment, with a quickening of the Holy Spirit, you can see. Like God opened the eyes of the young man, He wants to open your eyes today. To see people the way He sees people. You know, the greatest commodity for Jesus is people. They are more worth than any silver or gold. Jesus never came for all the silver and gold on the earth. Jesus came for people. And that is why we need to love people. And can I tell you, that's why the enemy also wants us to hate. Because when we love, we become too much like Jesus. Amen? We become too much like Jesus. We need to love with the love of Jesus. Amen? So the servant of God and the man of God were looking at the same thing, but they were looking at it through different eyes. Can you decide today to ask Jesus to open your eyes to see the truth? To see the truth about how God sees you. See the truth about your future. See the truth about what you, where you are going. Amen? You see, the servant was fearful. He heard the rumblings and he heard the roars of the chariots and the horsemen. Sometimes in our walk with Jesus, we will hear some chariots and horsemen and see some fire coming for us. Amen? Sometimes, like Joseph, when you're in Dothan, you're jumping in, you are in the pit. You don't know where to go. But God is still in control. In the pit, God didn't lose control. When Joseph fell in the pit, God didn't say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Joseph is in the pit. Just like he didn't lose control with Elisha when he was surrounded by all these armies coming for him. He wasn't thrown off the throne and said, oh goodness, what are we going to do now? Elisha's got all this whole army coming for him. Jesus, what are we going to do? Because you see, God is in control of our lives. God is in control of our lives. Remain calm. In those times when those fire comes, when chariots come, even when they come for you, maybe they're not standing behind Elisha, maybe they're coming with you with the army. Stand calm because of the revelation that Jesus gives you, that if you are in Him, it's different. We are not like those of the world. Amen? We are not like those of the world. We are different. So as Christians, we need to see what God sees. We need to see what God sees. Do you see what God sees? As Christians, we need to love the way God loves. As Christians, we need to bring peace into every situation. As Christians, we need to ask God to give us eyes that see the world through His eyes. Not through our eyes, not through our traumas, not through our triggers, not through our disappointments, but through what Jesus Christ has done. We need to see Jesus as Savior. If we are Christians, we need to obey the Word. And the Word says, you need to see your circumstances through His eyes. Amen. Let us open our eyes to see the truth. Amen. Can I ask you something else? Maybe a good prayer to pray is to ask Jesus to show us the character that we possess, the character inside of us that maybe needs to change, to see the world the way He sees it. You know what? We don't have to live through our pasts. We don't have to live through our triggers. We don't have to live through things that have happened to us. We've got the Holy Spirit. And God says, I make all things new. I make all things new. I make all things new. When man says something cannot be fixed, I want to tell you, God says it can. When God says this diagnosis is your diagnosis, I want to tell you, that's not written in heaven. God didn't write that script. When you get a sickness and a disease that says this is incurable, or how are you even going to live with this pain in your body? God says, I came to set you free from this pain. I came to the cross to set you free. John, not just from physical pain, from mental pain as well. Jesus did not just come for our physical bodies. He came for our mental state as well. Amen? And He can make all things new. Will you be the servant afraid, asking what to do? Or will you be the man and woman of faith saying, Lord, open my eyes to see what I cannot see. When we face an army, close your eyes and just say, Lord, let me see what I cannot see. Because our world is not just this world. It's a way more than what we see with our eyes. Amen. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? That is the question I'm leaving with you today. I started with questions. Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Amen. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.